Good morning. Well, it's great to see you all here today as we celebrate on this glorious Easter morning together. If you're visiting with us today, we're especially glad that you're here, and if you're already part of our church family, you're all right too. It's a great day for us to be together. I was clearing out the bookshelves at my house the other day, trying to declutter things a little bit, and I was putting a bunch of books into boxes to put away in storage. My bookshelves are full of books. That makes sense. Some of them I've read, some of them I was supposed to read. Well, I was filling up this box with books to put away, and my little daughter, Abigail, who's almost 2 years old, she came in and was inspecting this box to see what Daddy was putting in there. She was very interested to know what was going on, and so she was taking out book after book and looking at it and saying, ooh, and putting it down. There was a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel there. There was a book by a Princeton sociologist, some books of poetry, even a book called The Gospel According to the Simpsons. And as she looked through the books, you could tell that none of them was actually the thing that she was after. None of them was the kind of book that she was looking for. You see, the kinds of books that Abigail tends to enjoy have a lot more pictures than these books did. She was looking for books that she had read many times before. You know, ones that you might even have read in your lifetime. Books like Goodnight Moon and Are You My Mother? Night Night Little Pookie and one of my favorites, Duck and Goose 1, 2, 3. She was sifting through this box of books that held all kinds of information, that held the wisdom of the ages. But what she was really looking for was a story that she could understand, that she could remember, that she could listen to again and again. And in our own way, I suspect that each of us is on this same quest, looking for a story that we can understand, that we can listen to again and again, that will stick with us, that will stay in our heads and in our hearts. The Easter story is that kind of story. We've come to this high holy day today, once again, to hear this great story of Easter. This is the gospel story. And as we hear it again today, let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we turn to you today. Our hearts and our lives are open to you. We seek that you would speak to us now through your word. As you have spoken through song and prayer already this day, open us to hear anew this great story of Easter. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's a game that I like to play with youth group kids, and maybe you've played it before. It goes like this. You pass around a big bag of Skittles to all the kids, and you tell them that they can take as many Skittles as they want. Have you played this game before? And the only thing is that when they get the Skittles, they can't eat them right away. They have to hold them in their hand and count to see how many there are. And for kids, middle school kids in particular, this activity is all about anticipation. They will sit there with their hands full of Skittles, and they will count them out, and they will compare with one another how many Skittles they got compared to the next person. They will prepare themselves to enjoy the rainbow of fruit flavors that is surely coming their way. In our Old Testament lesson today, the prophet Isaiah says, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, a rich food filled with marrow of well-matured wines strained clear." And this is how kids with a handful of Skittles feel, like they are about to feast on candy. And just then, I tell the students what's really going on, that for every Skittle they have in their hand, they have to tell something about themselves to the group. This is a get-to-know-you activity. They didn't know it. So if you have 10 Skittles in your hand, it's 10 things, and you can imagine the look on the face of anyone holding 50 Skittles. So while they were there getting ready to just pig out and eat a whole bunch of candy, it turns out that there was something else happening, more than they were prepared for. And if you'll allow me to make a rough connection between Skittles and Easter, I suspect it's the same for our story today. Mary goes to the tomb prepared for one thing, but then she discovers that something else altogether is really happening. It says that on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away She came to the tomb that morning prepared to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. That's what Mark and Luke's Gospels tell us. And so she sees that the stone is rolled away and that the tomb is empty and that the body of Jesus is not there. And her first thought is not resurrection, it's theft. It's body snatching. And she runs to tell the other disciples. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. Jesus' death on the cross had been on a Friday, so his burial had been done very quickly. He was even put into a borrowed tomb because there wasn't much time before sunset. And the end of Friday, that sunset, would mark the beginning of the Sabbath. A Sabbath was a day when nobody would go near a dead body. No one could go and properly prepare someone to be buried finally. And so Mary had spent that entire Saturday at home, preparing herself to go the next morning, Sunday morning, to bring oil and spices for Jesus for his more permanent burial. Mary was one of Jesus' most devoted disciples, and so she rose early on that third day and went to the tomb. She was expecting one thing, but then she found something very different. Mary had prepared herself to anoint a dead body, but instead she encountered the risen Lord. And I wonder whether some of us here today aren't a little bit like Mary. Mary is the one who dutifully does her duty to get everything ready, and so do we. We stock up on Cadbury eggs and jelly beans for the kids. We set the table and prepare our meal. We invite over friends and family. I wonder how many of you took a little extra time this morning to make sure you looked kind of good. Maybe with that new dress, or a hat, or a tie, like the one I picked out. Like Mary, we prepare ourselves, what we will wear, what we will eat, and in the case of preachers, what we will say. And yet it turns out that Easter is not about all these things that we have prepared ourselves for. Easter is really about meeting the risen Lord Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe once again. So some of us come today like Mary, ready for the Easter that we expect. But Jesus shows up and changes everything. That Jesus is risen on this Easter day means that the shrouds of death and sorrow, which are realities in this life, are not the final reality. Are you here today like Mary, I wonder? Prepared to be strong? Just trying to grin and bear it and get through another day or this season of your life, while deep down you're full of grief? Or disappointment, or stuck in the uncertainty of which way to go in your life? Are you a Mary? Well, Jesus calls your name today, Mary, and tells you that he is risen. The grave clothes can no longer hold him back, and the expectations that have held you can't hold you either. As if Easter were all about candy and cooking, or as if the oil and spices of our sorrow were the final word, they are not. Rejoice, because Christ is risen and has come to meet with you today. Are you a Mary? Jesus Christ has risen for you. But the good news of Easter is broader even than that. Because Christ did not just die and rise for the Marys in our midst. You see, some of us have come today prepared, like Mary, but others have come unprepared, like some of the other characters we find in the story. You'll remember that in that story, Peter and John didn't seem to be well prepared at all. They hadn't expected anything on that first Easter. When Mary bursts into their home to tell them that Jesus' body is missing, they're still in their jammies. They're still laying there, half asleep. Unlike her, they hadn't gotten up early to prepare the body. They had done nothing to prepare themselves for Easter. They weren't particularly devoted disciples. These guys hadn't made any plans. They had no expectations. And maybe that describes you this morning. They'd heard Jesus say again and again that he would die and on the third day he would rise. But then when the third day comes, they've done nothing to prepare for it. They're totally unprepared. Look at the story, how they ran out of the house, how they raced with each other to get to the tomb, tripping over one another. John got there first, it seems, but only because Peter had to stop and tie his sandal laces. These guys were unprepared. And yet even Peter and John, who seemingly have done nothing to get ready for Easter, whose heads are still a little groggy from the night before, even for them, there's good news this Easter. They look and see that the tomb is empty, and they believe. The empty tomb was a sign to them, and it pointed them to that deep down truth about Easter, that Christ is risen. And I wonder if you are a Peter or John kind of person today, one who doesn't feel particularly prepared for this holy day, one who didn't make it out to too many Bible studies over the last month, or who wasn't with Pastor Chris and me freezing at the 6 a.m. sunrise service. Are you a Peter or a John today? If you are, you've somehow gotten out of bed and you've raced down here today. You made it just in the nick of time, and I have a word for you. It's an Easter word, and the word is grace. Grace. Jesus has risen, not based on anything you have done, anything you have planned, anything you have prepared. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you, to the grave for you, and now has risen for you to new life. And you and I are invited on this day to join with Jesus and to begin to experience this new life. This is the power of God which is on display for us this day. And it's good news to each one of us that though we stumble and bumble and fumble our way through lives with our half-hearted prayers and our fickle faith, that God is faithful still. And so in the end, here's the message for you today. Whether you're prepared like Mary and you're just doing your best, whether you're unprepared like Peter and John, and you've been at your worst. This is the truth of the Easter morning, that it is Jesus Christ who has kept his promise to you. Jesus who promised he would never leave us alone or forsaken. Jesus who promised that although he died, he would rise. Jesus who promised that in his rising, we also find our hope for eternal life. It is Jesus Christ who this day is beginning something anew, afresh in the world and in the church and in our lives. So the call to us as we experience this Easter reality again, as the Marys and Peters and Johns that we are, the call is to see and believe, to sing and rejoice, to go and tell. If you dig down deep into that big box that holds all the truth and wisdom and hope of the Christian faith, if you dig in there and look for something that you can hold on to, a core truth, a story that makes sense and lifts you up, one to hear again and again and again, here it is. Christ the Lord is risen today. He is risen indeed. Amen.